This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة
الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك سبحانك اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك وصلى الله تبارك وتعالى وسلم على سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم وصدق الله العظيم All praises to Allah. All praises to Allah. All praises to Allah who guided us to this, who guided us to Islam and to Iman and to His Mubarak house on this Mubarak hour of this Mubarak day. And we were not to be guided. Was it not that Allah had guided us? O Allah, to you is praise as is commensurate with the majesty of your countenance and the greatness of your authority. O Allah, we do not limit you with any praise we can come up with ourselves. Rather, we admit that you are the only one who knows the true extent of your praiseworthiness. And may the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon His servant and messenger, our master Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him and upon his noble companions and upon his pure wives and upon his Mubarak and blessed family and progeny and upon all of those who follow all of their way until the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book in Surah Al-Hashr, after praising the Muhajirin and the Ansar, the rank of whom doesn't require recounting, it is known to everybody who keeps sound faith in their heart. He says, as for the people who come after them, yani after the Muhajirin and the Ansar, as for the people who come after them, they say, O our Lord, forgive us. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ Forgive us and forgive our brothers and sisters who came before us in faith. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا And do not place in our hearts غِلْ, ill will, toward those who believe. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ O our Lord, indeed you are kind and you are merciful. So you see two things. These are the sifat of the believers, right? Who are you? You're either from the Muhajirin, which none of us are, or you're from the Ansar, which none of us are. Was there anybody here there to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, Abu Bakr, welcome to Medina? No, there was none of us. None of us have the opportunity to be there. And even if we did, it would have been very difficult. And many people say, oh, I wish I was in the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. I would have helped the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we have a hard time just coming to the masjid for Fajr. We have a hard time. Imagine the sacrifices those people have to make. Allah Ta'ala put everybody where they are and when they are for a purpose and for a reason. So it's good to, instead of fantasizing about things, it's better to try to get in where you fit in. Because al-imkan, ma kana khairun min al-imkan. What happens, what is, what the reality is better than any of the other possibilities. This is part of our aqidah. So if we're not part of the Muhajirin, and we're not part of the Ansar, and we want to be one of the people of belief, one of the mu'mineen, then we have to fit into this third category. Otherwise, we're outside of the pill altogether. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be our protection. What did Allah ta'ala describe? The rest of the believers will come after these two groups, these two auspicious and mubarak and blessed groups. What did he say? He says, those are the people who say, oh, our Lord, forgive us and forgive those who came before us. Meaning the people who came before them in the ummah, they have love for them. They don't hate them or despise them or say, these people ruined it for us, or these people were backwards, or they made backwards countries, or they, you know, had backwards customs, or if they'd only done this, that, and the other thing like the other people had, we would have had this, that, and the other thing. The fact that you're in the masjid right now, the fact that you say, La ilaha illallah, means that those people who came before us did something right, didn't they? They did something right. They did something to benefit you. In fact, the most important thing in the world that they could have done, they did that right. Such a thing, everything afterward pales in comparison. Are you not in the masjid right now? Are you not a person who says La ilaha illallah? And are you not aware that Allah Ta'ala doesn't give La ilaha illallah to somebody except for if they love, He loves them? So those people, they made dua for them. They prayed for them. This third group of people, may Allah Ta'ala make us amongst them. They make dua for the people who came before them. They say, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا, forgive us, O our Lord, وَالَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ, and those people who came before us in iman. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, don't put in our hearts ill will to those people who believe. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ, O our Lord, verily you are kind and you are merciful. You are kind and you are merciful. This is the sifa, this is the description of the believers. The description of the non-believers is what? When Yawm al-Qiyamah is done and they enter Jahannam, كُلَّمَا دَخَلَتْ أُمَّةٌ لَعَنَتْ أُخْتَهَا, every time a group of people from the people of disbelief and from the people of wickedness, from the people who didn't care in this world about neither Allah nor His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam nor the rights of others, when they enter Jahannam, every time one group of them enters Jahannam, they will curse their sisters, meaning those who the ummah will curse the other ummah that came before them and the ummah that came after them. The ummah that came before them for teaching them the wrong way and the wrong path, and the ummah that came after for following them in their wrong teachings so as to increase them in their punishment in the hellfire. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So if we find ourselves cursing people, if we find ourselves cursing our elders, and we find ourselves cursing our youngers, we find ourselves cursing our brothers and sisters and having a bad opinion about the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then no, this is not from the signs of us being from the people of Jannah. This is not from us, of a sign of us being from the people of the Muhajirin, the Ansar. This is not a sign of us being their righteous successors and their followers in their path that Allah Ta'ala chalked out for them and for us. This is a sign of us going down another path. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be our protection. It's a hadith that's narrated in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. It's narrated by Abu Dawud and by Tirmidhi with slightly different words, but the meaning of which is the same. Imam Ahmad narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَيَعْرِفْ حَقَّ كَبِيرَنَا لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَيَعْرِفْ حَقَّ كَبِيرَنَا أو كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. The riwayah of Tirmidhi has the word يُوَقِّرْ بَدْلَ يَعْرِفْ, وصدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في جميع ما قال كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم narrates, it's narrated from him that he said صلى الله عليه وسلم, that person isn't from amongst us. That person isn't from amongst us who doesn't have mercy on their younger brothers and sisters from this ummah, on younger people, and who doesn't know the right of elders, of those who are greater than us, both in sin and in sha'n, both in age and in affair. Somebody can be greater than you. Someone can be kabir, akbar minka. Maybe they can be greater than you, not just in age. Meaning of the word kabir as an adjective for a human being, it can be either in size, which is obviously not what's meant by the hadith. Okay? It can be in size, or it can be in age, or it can be in sha'n. It can either be in size, it can be in age, which is what's meant by the hadith, and it can be in sha'n. It can be in a person's overall affair. Who is a kabir person? A person who is generous, a person who is righteous, and most importantly, a person who has knowledge. All of these people, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says what? He says that that person is not from amongst us who doesn't have mercy on those who are younger than us and doesn't know the right and the rank of those who are older and greater in rank. These are the sifat of the believers. Meaning what? It's an entire ecosystem. And a person needs to get in where they fit in. A person needs to understand where they fit in that system and give every person their right, give every person their haq. And to speak about the youth, it's something that people give a lot of lip service. وَلِعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ People give a lot of lip service. We have to do this for the youth. We have to do that for the youth. The youth is important. The youth is our future. The youth is this, that, and the other thing. Brothers and sisters, how are we going to implement that? Is having concern with the youth only to say that, okay, we're going to hire imam, he's going to take care of the youth? It doesn't work that way. It requires rahmah. It requires what? Mercy. Mercy means what? That you give somebody something that you wouldn't give to other people. That certain people will behave in a certain way and they're going to irk you and they're going to give you a hard time and they're going to make you upset. And you still tolerate that from them. You tolerate that from them without retaliating and without having anger and without getting upset. This is rahmah. You have rahmah for them. You invest in them what you wouldn't invest in other people. You invest in them in such a way that it doesn't make sense. You invest in them in a way that doesn't make sense from the logic of dollars and cents and from the logic of economy. But you invest in them in the same way that a mother invests in her children without worry and concern about return and without counting what am I going to get back from this. And this is something that's very important. And having rahmah on the kids is something that needs to be done holistically. It doesn't mean that every time a child cries and says candy, you go and buy them candy. That's not rahmah. That's just a good way of making the child obese and destroying their teeth. It's not going to help them. Rahmah means what? Means you think for this child. You make decisions of how you behave with the child or how you behave with the youth and how you behave with your youngers. And some people, mashallah, there are people, Muammar people with their beards have turned white in this very majlis for whom perhaps even a man of 40 years old and 50 years old is like a child in front of them. Right? Making decisions for those people, giving advice for those people, and acting for those people, not in the way that will make them happy necessarily, but in the way that's best for them. And this is something that's known about the psychology of children and even of adolescents. It's that the mind is still developing, and psychologically younger people look toward older people to see an example of how to behave. And in fact, even though people are very scared to say anything to children, and people are very scared to discipline children, because we seem to live right, nowadays in an environment where it's fashionable to let children do whatever they want to, and not to say anything to them, to only use positive reinforcement, never to use negative reinforcement. And the fact of the matter is that some people are too negative, and the fact of the matter is some people are only positive to the extent that they don't negatively reinforce any sort of norms or social behavior norms or limits in younger people, and that's also imbalanced. It's imbalanced. There needs to be a balance between them. Yes, a person should always stay a little bit on the side of positivity, but without negative enforcement, the mind is designed to accept both positive and negative reinforcement. If that wasn't the case, there would be no ayat in the Quran promising punishment for sinners. There would be no verses in the Quran. There would be no punishments at all, in fact, in this world at all, if negative reinforcement doesn't benefit. If you didn't punish thieves and murderers, and if you didn't punish criminals, the crime would go and blow through the roof. This is a rahmah for all of us. This is something also when we want to have mercy on young people, we need to show them what limits are. We need to show them with what limits are. And a person, you know, may say, it's funny because some people, they become like over engrossed in reading books, and they are under trained and underdeveloped in terms of experience. And so they read books about the kindness and the mercy of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sahaba radiallahu anhum, to the point that they think that any sort of negative reinforcement is somehow contrary to the prophetic sunnah. And that's not the case at all. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of his wasaya to parents and to fathers, to heads of households, is never to raise the stick of adab over the head of your children. The stick of adab, it's a metaphor. It doesn't mean that you constantly hold a stick and beat people or whatever, or that you even beat them at all. But it's a metaphor for what? For negative reinforcement. This is also part of the mercy that we give to our youngers. Make them tough. Make them, do without for a time. Let them sleep on the floor for a day. Let them spend the day in the masjid in silence. Let them go travel, do something for the sake of Allah. Let them sacrifice and go through a little bit of suffering. Not a lot of it, but a little bit of it for the sake of Allah. Toughen them up. Show them how to be. Show them how to behave in the world. Don't leave them like a defenseless animal. The mother leaves the animal defenseless, that now you've turned 18. Go to college now. You have no idea how to deal with people. You have no idea to control yourself. You have no idea how to do anything at all whatsoever. Don't leave them like that. Rather, train them to be adults. Train them to take the sacrifices of adults, and train them to take to make the effort of adults as well. I received an email from one of the young people in the Iqra school. I wanted to share some of it without sharing who sent it. It could have been any of the kids really that sent it. And sometimes the kids, we underestimate them and we think of them as kids. Sometimes they're not kids. They're grown. They're grown up, mashallah. They need experience and they need guidance and they need encouragement. But for every time people talk about how horrible the youth is and how astray the youth is and how the youth is like, when we were kids we would have never done this and we would have never done that, it's a saying attributed to Imam Malik rahimahullah tabarak wa ta'ala, that the person who claims and complains that look how destroyed the people are, meaning look how bad the people have become, look how horrible their akhlaq have become, look how far away from deen they've become. The Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala said, whoever complains about how destroyed the people are, that person is the most destroyed of them. That person is the most destroyed of them. Meaning what? If you complain about everything is, so horrible, then you're the most horrible of them. And the context of the saying is not for the person who is analyzing what the situation is in order to make it right or to do something about it, or at least to make dua for people. But the context is what? That person who wants to complain about how bad the situation is, and they don't have any intention whatsoever. They never had an intention for the blink of an eye. From the beginning until the end, they had no intention whatsoever to do anything to help anybody. The only point of them complaining was for them to complain. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala said that that person is the most destroyed of all of them. Right? So look, mashallah, you see that. And this is just one example. There are examples to the left and right. You just have to look for them. This is so-and-so from the student council. I'm emailing you to remind you if possible. Can you talk about donating or buying from us? They're having this dessert cafe sale. Right? The kids at the school are having it, right? What do they cook the desserts themselves, or they solicited them themselves. They said, remind people if they can donate or buy something if possible, because all the money is going to Iqra renovation to help Iqra be accredited again, inshallah. Please tell them if everyone just gave $5 and presume 200 people show up for Jama'ah, which eventually more than that will show up, we'd have 1,000 right there. Please, Imam, do not forget to announce this. It means a lot to us. We've gone to this school all our lives and want to, and we know that this school deserves to be accredited. What does that mean? That means there's a child that has, mashallah, not a child. I mean, they're young people, mashallah. They have what? They have A, pride for the school that they go to. Why? Because it's a Muslim school. It has to do with Iman. B, they're doing something to make the world a better place. This is one serious illness that we have, that we've trained our children to become consumers, leeches. Right? We've trained them. Obviously, a child, a baby, you're not going to yell at a six-month-old child or a six-year-old child, say, you never do anything for anybody, you're just a leech, you just eat food. And okay, fine, that's fine. Small children, some of them, they're not able to give back yet. This is your time to give to them. But what happens? A child is 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old. You can teach them that you don't have to take all the time. You can give also. You can give them a dollar, tell them to go put it in the sadaqah box. It's not their dollar, but at least you're giving them the habit. You can teach them that instead of after a dinner at the masjid is done, or after an event is done, instead of going home with everybody else, teach them, stay behind for 10 minutes and help them take the set down or clean up. Why, Baba? Everybody else is going. Why are we doing it? Why? Because Sayyidul Qawmi Yukhadimuhum. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the leader of a people is the one who serves them. You can teach them that, can't you? They may not run the entire masjid personally out of their own finances, but you can teach them to give something back. Right? And as they get older, you can teach them to give more and more back instead of having a situation which we have right now. Wal-iyadu billah, you have people are grown men. People 23, 25. People tell me, they say, Shaykh, my son doesn't listen. My wife tells him to clean his room and to do this and to do that. And he doesn't listen. Can you talk to him? I say, okay, yeah, no problem. I'm thinking they're going to bring an 8th grader in, 7th grader in. I'm going to talk to him about being a man. You bring a 23-year-old child in. You bring a 20-year-old child in. And I have to tell him about like why you have to help your mother with chores. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You don't realize the fact that your father is paying your rent for free, and that you don't realize all of these things. You're too busy playing PlayStation to study and to do any of these things. This is what this at this point. This is not 100% the child's fault anymore. Not to remove responsibility. It's all a child's responsibility. They're not a child anymore, it's an adult, right? This is their responsibility. They're responsible for it. But if you look at the root cause of how you got to this point, it's not completely the fault of the young person also. Because they also need to be pushed forward a little bit. They also need to do things. In the Sharia, a man is a man when? When they hit the age of puberty. 14 years old, 15 years old, 16 years old. According to the different opinions of the fuqaha, a person, you're legally, you're mukallaf. At that point, if you do something and you die, yawm al-qiyamah, the tape will be replayed. Ala ru'us al-ashhad, and you will be asked, why did you do this? Nobody's going to call your mama and your baba anymore. We need to be careful about this. We just read this morning, it's a hadith narrated by Imam Bayhaqi in his Sunan. It was read this morning after Salatul Fajr that the person... the child has a haq, a right on his father, that when he's born, he should give him a good name and he should raise him in a good way. And when he's ready to get married, he should get married. And whichever a young man then is not helped to get married by his father, and then afterward ends up going and doing something haram because of that, then the father has a portion of the sin with the son. I heard that. Wallahi al-Azim, we read in the Madaris, we read, mashallah, near 100,000 hadith. Who's going to remember all of them? Sometimes you hear a hadith again, it makes your ears perk up. You said, oh my God, this is something that's serious. This is something that's deadly serious. This is not just only having to do with this one issue. This has to do with all of these things. So coming back to what we were talking about, the flip side is what? When you see someone who's thoughtful, I mean, this is thoughtful. Whoever wrote this email, and it's not one person, is the tongue for a group of young people who are have that same feeling, who are supporting the same project. And wallah al-azim, if you look for them, it's not the only project going on in the world. There are so many young people who are doing so many things for the sake of Allah Ta'ala with sincerity and with energy. And what are we supposed to do? What's the haq of the younger people? Is that when we see them, instead of walking by and saying, well, I'm on a diet and I don't eat cake and I don't have time for this and it's cute. My children don't go to the Iqra school anyway. I don't have time for this, blah, blah, blah. And you know, they always screw up the renovations anyway, and they this and they that. 100 things shaitan puts in the mind of a person. Instead of doing that, why don't you, why don't we look at them and say, mashallah. I'm on a diet. I'll give you $5 anyway. I'm on a diet. I'll give you the $5 anyway. I have to go right now, but I'll write you a check when next time, next Jum'ah. Or if you don't even have the money, or you think that you don't want to spend the money on it, or you already donated your money to orphans somewhere else, or whatever, at least make dua for them. At least tell them, mashallah, you guys are doing something so wonderful. Allah Ta'ala help you. You'll be rewarded for this in the Yawm al-Qiyamah. You'll be rewarded for this Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala will put barakah in your life in this world. Allah Ta'ala will put barakah in your life everlasting in the hereafter. If we can't do that, then why should we expect that there should be anything but anyone destroyed? This is what the meaning of rahmah is that we push them forward along the path of goodness, even though they're naive. Because with their naivety comes an energy to do things that elders can't do. This is something very thoughtful. Wallahi al-Azim, there are many people in this crowd that may have even beards and white beards. And this is more thoughtful than anything they did until the age of 40, mashallah. Right? There are kids doing things like that. All we need to do is help them, to push them forward, to encourage them rather than discourage them. To discourage a young person from an act of righteousness is to sub in for shaitan. That's shaitan's job. There's already someone in the universe who is created for that. It's not you and me. Let them do their work. You and I should be busy doing our work, which is what? Encouraging people to do something better and to be someone better, instead of discouraging them. And finally, what is the second part of the hadith? وَلَمْ يَعْرِفْ حَقَّ كَبِيرِنَا أَوْ لَمْ يُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا. Right? What does that mean? That a person must know the right of our elders and must venerate and honor our elders. What does that mean? For those of us who come from many different parts of the world or from a different time, even in this country, it's automatically known that someone who's older than you deserves your respect. Very few people understand why. It's like autopilot, to the point where what? If someone is born a day older than you, an hour sooner than you, even twins, they're born within minutes of each other, it's known for the whole life of those two twins. They may be identical twins. They know who's the elder and who's the younger. Why is this? Is this just some sort of oddity of the East? Some extravagant thing left over from a different time in a different age, which because we've moved to America, we can shrug off now? It's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But why? It was something that we have very little time, but we'll summarize what the point is. The point is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a number of hadiths specifically, that every day, hour, breath Allah Ta'ala gives to a person, and that person spends that in righteousness and piety. Every salat a person reads, every Allahu Akbar, every La ilaha illallah, every time they even take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that increases them one rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah. And the ranks of Jannah last forever. They last forever. To the point where there is a hadith narrated in the Sunan that there were two brothers, one from the Muhajirin, one from the Ansar. You know, they had Mu'akha when they did Hijrah. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paired an immigrant with a helper, so that they could, you know, get integrated into the life of Medina. The two of them, subhanAllah al-Azim, in battle, both of them were shaheed. One of them was killed on the battlefield, the other one just survived for another day, or for a small amount of time at any rate, after his brother died shaheed. And then when he dies, when he finally also succumbs to his wounds, he was wounded mortally, they come to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to deliver the news. They said he finally caught up with his brother. He finally caught up with his brother. May Allah have mercy on both of them. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, he didn't catch up with him. He said, just that extra day, or that extra small amount of time that he was alive, those extra salats that he did, he's already surpassed the maqam of his brother. Because both of them were shaheed, this one shaheed with that many more prayers, with that much more dhikr, with that much more patience, with that much more obedience to Allah Ta'ala, with asking Allah's forgiveness that many more times. This is very beautiful, because in it are a number of lessons we don't have time to go through. One of the most important of which is that there's still khair, there's always goodness, there's still some reason to keep living, there's always some good in life. Life is never pointless. Even if you're stuck in a cage and you're being tortured, may Allah Ta'ala protect us from ever having to get near anything like that. There's still khair in life as long as a person does what Allah Ta'ala commands them to do, as long as a person is patient, and as long as a person says their prayers and remembers Allah Ta'ala. But coming back to the issue of elders, what is it? What is it? The reason that we venerate those people who are older than us is that they've spent that much more time in La ilaha illallah. Do you know or do I know if we're going to be able to have that tawfiq, what they had, that we're going to have that time that they had, that we're going to have that pleasure that they had? Even if a person isn't a particularly good Muslim, the fact that they held on to Iman and we don't know tomorrow what's going to happen to our hearts, this is a reason to respect those people. Allah commands us to respect those people for this very reason, that they have some rank over you and over me that we don't have. We hope to have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we don't have vouchsafed or guaranteed by any means. So we are to respect them as well. And when a person sees this scale of saghir and kabir, of younger and elder, then they see where they fit in, they will feel a peace in their heart. Why? Because the fish will be back in water. They're not going to be a person who's out of place in this world. Rather, they'll know where their place is, where they fit in, and that in and of itself gives a person a type of peace that refusing to accept order or refusing to accept any system will never allow a person to have in their hearts. It doesn't mean that everything young people do is wonderful or everything old people do is wonderful, but it does mean that you need to understand where you fit in and how you can help and how you can speak to people and how they'll speak to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us so much tawfiq. Our young people, whichever one of them has a pious and righteous intention in their heart to do something, and the zeal to carry it out that comes with youth, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them more and more tawfiq. Our elders, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep their shadows over our heads and keep us benefiting from the barakat of us being here. And may Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq of also serving and surviving a life in la ilaha illallah, so that we can have what they had or have something better. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people who love one another and make us people who are comfortable with what our place is in the society, not people who carry around grudges in our hearts, phantom grudges for nobody and for nothing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all so much tawfiq. Walillahil hamd. Wa sallallahu tabaraka ala sayyidina Muhammad, tabaraka wa ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam ajma'in. Yaqulu Rabbu tabaraka wa ta'ala fi kitabihil kareem. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. وصدق الله العظيم وأقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون. وقال عز وجل في كتابه الكريم مخبرا عن حق نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم علينا وآمنا به حيث قال: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وارحم سيدنا محمد وآل سيدنا محمد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت ورحمت وباركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير سألك به محمد نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من كل شر استعاذك سيدنا محمد نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم. ورب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. نسألك يا ربنا أن تغفرنا وترحمنا وأنت خير الراحمين. وصلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. وأقم الصلاة.